Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us this week at Motion Church. Like, legitimately, I don't know how you follow this stuff up. So I'll just do what I can do, right? I figured as much as I like to sing and as awful as it is, that would be pretty entertaining, right? Like some sugar and spice, right? You got all that beautiful stuff, and then I come up here and I start singing, and it's just atrocious. So anyway, hey, we're continuing a series this week called Power Couples. We're actually wrapping it up because, and we like to do this every year. I think February, like it or not, is a time of the year when we start to think about love. But you got to drop it an octave or 10, right? We start to think about love. That's good. I wish my voice could be like that all the time. You know what I'm saying? No, anyway. But it's not. It's just, it ain't the way it is. And I've noticed that the more I try to project, the higher my voice gets. So when I start to yell, it gets really high and it's kind of embarrassing. So it's all good. Hey, so we talk about power couples because we're thinking this way anyway, right? We're thinking about love. We're thinking about relationships. And so I think because there's so much bad information out there as far as what it takes to have a successful relationship, a healthy relationship, I figured, why don't we give some good information as to how to be power couples? And so we kind of been looking through the book of Ecclesiastes, a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 has kind of been the source for this. And I'm going to try to go quick today because I have noticed that the last few weeks I've been going a little bit long. Somebody say, preacher, hurry up. Y'all don't rush me. Man, leave me alone. No, I'm just kidding. So I will try to expedite this process because you, like me, probably enjoy food. And I'll try to get us out of here. We'll try to beat the Baptist to church or to the restaurant. We beat them to church and to the restaurant. Let's see if we can do that. So power couples, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is such a beautiful, powerful, chock full of wisdom passage that gives us so much insight as to how we can be power couples. And the first week we talked about, we went to the end and how that Jesus is the source of our power. It says a three-strand cord is not easily broken. And it kind of introduces this third element to the couple. A couple is two, and it brings in the third. And we think that Jesus is the source of our strength, the source of any of your relationships. Like the ability to endure anything in a relationship is predicated on your willingness to forgive each other. And Jesus is the source of forgiveness. That'd be a good chance for you to say like, amen, preach white boy, I don't know, something. But y'all give me those, listen, there's googly eyes and then there's goofy eyes. And y'all been giving me those goofy eyes like, pastor? Anyway, so that's where we started. And then the second week, we kind of jump back to the beginning. It says that two are better than one and they have a good return for their labor. And really just, here's the thing, we're better together. We can do more together. We can accomplish more together. Even though sometimes I don't like you. And you don't like me, and I want to be all, but, well, y'all didn't have to be so excited about that one. Y'all get excited at all the wrong times, right? There are times, let's just be honest, that I would just prefer to be alone, and I want to do life alone, and I'm sick of you, and I'm sick of your attitude, and you ain't helping me, and I feel like I've always got to do more for you than you're doing for me, and I just want to do me, right? Anybody else ever feel like that? But that's not the best way to live your life. That's not the way that Jesus created us, intended us, made it for us, exemplified for us how to live. It's all about community. It's about relationships. We're better together. And then last week we talked about warming each other up and encouragement and honor and all of that stuff. And it's all on iTunes. It's a podcast, shameless plug, right? So this week we're going to go back to verse 12 and we're going to look at the first part. Verse 12 has two parts. We focused on the last part of verse 12 the first week, where it says that a three-strand cord is not easily broken. But right before that, it says something that's very, very interesting. Here, we'll read the whole thing. 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Somebody say, somebody help somebody. Y'all did it. Man. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Then verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Now, I don't know how you feel about violence. And we'll call it, if you're from the South, you call it wrestling. I don't know how you feel about all that stuff, but I'm in. I'm for it. I think, now, those of you that like discipline for you is to put your kid in a corner like reading a book. That ain't discipline, man. Like, I don't know how y'all grew up, but we grew up like running from the belt. I I'm not all that fleet-footed, right? I have a little bit of quickness, but what quickness I do have, I give back to and I give credit to running from the belt. Because, man, you just figure out how to get out of a room, out of a situation as quickly as possible because the belt is coming. And my mom denies this to this day, but I swear to you, she had a belt and it had metal lacing on it. Y'all seen these? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, the Western. And I'm, yeah, straight up. And, yeah, I got Cavender's laces on my backside. So, the Bible says, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. I think that there is a time for us to fight, and we'll kind of clarify what this looks like in just a minute. So that's where we're going, that's where we've been, so let's jump into it. This is kind of the first point. There's 2 points, we'll be really quick about it. The first point is what we'll call concentrated power. Now, how many self-proclaimed nerds do we have in the room? All right. Now, there was a day and age when it was not a good thing to be a nerd. Now, you have the richest people in the world, the most influential people in the world are nerds. So everybody's like, I'm a nerd. And they're not really nerds, right? The Zuckerbergs and the Gates and all those guys, right? They're just super nerds, just super successful and influential. So now everybody wants to jump on that bandwagon. So nerds know that, for example, when you concentrate certain elements into a very small space, right, to a micro space, you have the ability to do powerful, amazing, incredible things. For example, a single light ray cannot do much damage. But when you concentrate several light rays into a laser beam, right, you have the ability to do incredible things, right? Even water. Like, this is the one that blows my mind the most. So there is now this thing called water jet cutting, if you guys heard of it, right? So they have the ability, when they concentrate the effort, the focus, the energy of water into a very small space, they can actually cut metal with water. And I think that when it comes to our relationships, if we've got, I mean, here's the thing. In your relationship, in your life, you have energy. Your body is energy. The whole thing, it's circuitry, right? And it's got neurons going through it. Like, this is the way that God wired us, created us. We are a bottle, a body, a ball. Some of you have too much and you need to tone it down just a little bit. But we are energy, right? That's what we are. And so I think when we concentrate our energy, when we concentrate our power, we can do some really, really incredible things. So Ephesians 4:12 kind of gives us an idea. It says, hey, there are things that by yourself that will overpower you. There are things that if you are standing on your own, in your own strength, in your own ability, those things will overcome you. But if you got some people to stand with, and if you lock arms with people who have different strengths than you, and you can share strength, then you can overcome, you can defend yourself, you can protect yourself. Because here, this is what I know for a fact, right? There are a lot of things that I don't know and things that I speculate about and things like everybody else I hypothesize about, right? But the difference is, I'll just tell you, I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure it out. Now, the people that don't know and try to act like they know, just shut up. Does that bother anybody else as much as it bothers me? Like, people that pass off opinions as facts? Anyway, so what I do know, I know for a fact, this is not an opinion, this is a fact. Somebody say hashtag facts. Y'all are so trendy. What I know for sure is that there are things that because I've got people in my life that I've gotten through that I probably would not have gotten through on my own. At least the way that we come through it, right? Like, sometimes if you're by yourself in your own mind, in your own feelings, you're just going to waller around in your pity and your muck and your mire for days and days and weeks and weeks. But if you've got some people who love you, who care about you, can encourage you, can speak life into your situations, then you're going to come out of it a different person, right? You're going to come out of it regardless of how you feel about it, right? When you your tendency may be to stay in it and just, you know, because why is it, as awful as our pity feels, why do we continue to throw ourselves parties in our pity? Y'all know how we do this, right? It's like we don't want to be there, but we're not willing to do anything to get us out of the party of pity that we're having. And we need people sometimes to say, hey, man, party's over. This party is over. The popo is on the way. They shutting this party down. You need to get your butt up out of your pity party and come on back to life, right? And so that's the power of doing this together. So there are things, there are battles that you cannot win on your own that you can face with other people. There are battles that you're going to go through. If you try to go through it by yourself, the battle will make light work of you. But if you go through it with other people, you'll make light work of the battle. It's like Ronnie Coleman and bench press. Lightweight. That was for a very small part of the audience. You talk about, you know, like when you start yelling and your voice gets high. That guy is the embodiment of that. Does anybody know who Ronnie Coleman is? Raise your hand if you know who Ronnie Coleman is. Okay, good. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Lightweight, lightweight. And this dude's like 500 pounds and massive, and he's got this really high-pitched voice. It's ironic. So when we get to the place in our relationship that we concentrate our energy, then we can do great things. We can experience the power in power couples. But this only happens if. It only happens if we choose to decide, if we choose or decide to fight for our relationships and not in our relationships. That is the only way you're ever going to get to experience this kind of concentrated power is when you stop fighting in your relationships and you stop picking fights with people because of the failures that they had and the flaws that they had when you knew them in the first place, and now all of a sudden it bothers you. You thought he was going to change? We're not even going to go there. So stop fighting in your relationships and start fighting for your relationships. Now here, this is what makes this so hard. Sometimes I'm immature. I know that is very hard to believe. I know it just blows your mind that I'm immature. Sometimes I like to fight in it. Sometimes it feels good to fight in the relationship. Sometimes it feels good to prove a point. Sometimes it feels good to speak my mind. And I'm going to let them know how I feel. Does anybody else struggle with this stuff? Sometimes it feels good, but what feels good isn't always good. What we think is right isn't always right. And there are so many times when we want to fight in the relationship, it feels right, but you know better than that. Show me a successful long-term relationship that fights in it and not for it. I don't think you're going to find it. Now, you'll find people who are still together, but good Lord, you need to just stop. You'll find people who have been married for 30 years, and they hate each other, and they're fighting all up in the relationship, but they ain't fighting for the relationship. Now, here's what we're saying when we fight for the relationship. We're saying, hey, you know what? You've got some flaws. You've got some faults. You've got some issues, just like I've got them. But I love you enough to concentrate my energy and my power on helping you get better, just as I expect you to help me get better. Let's work together. Let's fight for this thing and not in this thing. Let's stop bickering about all of these little things. Man, if you spend as much time appreciating somebody as much as you do writing down all the things you don't like about them, it would change your relationship. It's a shift from in to for, right? So that's the first aspect of this. We have the ability to exemplify or exhibit power in our relationships when we concentrate our power, when we concentrate our energy. So that only happens if we make that transition from in to for. You guys with me? You tracking? Good. Now, that's the good part of all of this. Let's talk about the bad part of all this. I think that we can have power in our relationships. I think that our friendships, our marriages, you know, if you're dating, if you're a mother, if you're a father, or your son, an employee, like all of our relationships can be better, they can be stronger, but I think there are also things that we just absolutely have to avoid at all costs. We're going to call them vampires. Just because some of you like Twilight for some god-awful reason. Is that too soon? Too much? My bad. Anyway, so let's talk about relationship vampires. I think that there are things, I think that there are people that suck the life right out of you. And if you're not clapping, it's you. Maybe. Hypothetically speaking, right? Just taking opinions and making them facts. I just know that, man, there are things, there are situations that you're going to go through, there are circumstances in life, and there are people that you will interact with, that you'll meet, maybe that, you know, you have to interface with on some level, that will suck the life out of you. They just drain you, right? And I think if we're not careful and we allow these antagonists, we allow these things to continue to be at play and at work in our lives, then we are not power couples. We are powerless couples because the power has been sucked out of our relationship. So let's talk about a few of these relationship vampires. The first one is, we're going to call it a bad connection. And this is really simple. This is something that I think every one of us can understand on some level. When you have a bad connection, what's going on is there's an appearance of a thing, but the absence of the actual thing. Let me give you an example. And you have never done this, right? You get ready. I don't know how you guys do this. I put my phone right by my bed. They say don't do that, but what do they know? So I put my phone by, because it's my alarm, right? It's everything. So I've got my charger right by my bed. Now, I go to bed late, later than I should. They say don't do that. What do they know? So, yeah, YOLO, right? So I go to bed, and so by the time I'm going to bed, I'm like, I'm tired, it's late. And so I'll grab my charger, and I'll stick it in, and then I'll just throw my phone down, and I go to bed, right? Now, there have been a couple of times when I woke up the next morning, and my phone didn't charge. Because it was in, but it wasn't fully engaged, right? The charger, it was where it was supposed to be, but it wasn't fully engaged. There was an appearance that it was connected to the charger, but it wasn't making contact. It didn't have a good connection. It had a bad connection. And I think the same thing can happen in our relationships. Like sometimes, man, we are around people. The appearance is right. We are with them. We're close to them. The proximity of the relationship is such that it would appear that we're actually charging each other, right? But the reality is that when we go out to dinner, Oh, did y'all say something? I didn't hear you because I was talking to my digital friends that aren't real live human beings right in front of me, most of whom I've never met. Have y'all ever done this? Like, have you ever met somebody in person, face to face, and you're like, hey, I think we're friends on Facebook? I have never met you. Why do you send me a friend request? I don't know you. I don't want to be your friend. I'm kidding. I mean, maybe I do. Maybe you're awesome. But we completely discard and ignore the people that are right in front of us. For what? What are we gaining in these silly digital connections, right? What could be gained? What are we missing out on is a better question. What's right in front of us? What power can be exchanged when we're actually engaged? Not just the appearance, not just the proximity to the relationship, but fully engaged in the relationship. When is the last time you looked at the pupils of somebody's eyeballs? Not weird. Don't be weird. Because the first sign of a crazy person is how close they get to you when they talk to you. Let me help y'all out. Shelly, come here. I need some help. Shelly, she can give you all kinds. First off, crazy eyes. Have y'all noticed that people have crazy eyes when there's too much white in their eyeballs? Run. Okay, so Shelly has the crazy whites in her eyeballs, right? This is obviously crazy. She's trying to get all up in my pupils, and she's trying to talk to me. Let me show you something. This is a little trick. You take your lead foot, and you just stick it out a little bit. She can't get close. I mean, you can. You can. I'm just kidding. Anyway, go sit down.
It's true.
Do you want to do it? You got any more?
Try to come talk to me.
So I'll be like, hey, girl. Hey, girl. Oh. Y'all saw it. Y'all saw the abuse. These are the things I live with. So proximity isn't necessary. Connection is necessary. Being the phrase that I've heard that I think I identify with the most is being present, right? You can be in attendance and not be present. You can be there physically but checked out mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and I think we have to be present if we want to see the power in our relationships. The next thing that I think can drain our relationships, we'll call it, again, a relationship vampire, is what we'll call, and again, I think this is something we all understand, background apps. Right? Have y'all ever had a situation where your phone is just dying so fast and you can't figure out what in the heck is going on? It's like literally the battery is just, right? And then you pull up, and I didn't clear this out for a reason. So I wanted to see, this may be embarrassing. Have y'all noticed how you have all of these things running in the background? I don't know if you guys can see that. That is a bunch of stuff. Y'all don't judge me. Bring your phone up here. Let's go. So what happens, now here's, and I'll, if you really are curious about this, I will show you every app on my phone. And I would say the vast majority, 99%, I think I have maybe one or two games. And that's because I have kids, right? They just, I'm like, where did that come from? And you hear this chuckle in the background. So I would say the 99% of the apps on my phone, I would consider for productivity or efficiency. I think they're good things, right? Things that make my life better in some way. But when they're running in the background, they're draining energy from things that are supposed to be in the foreground. Even good things can take away from the main thing. Even good things, things that help us, things that make us better, things that encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us, even those kind of things can distract us from the most important things. Work is a good thing. Like, we should work. We should want to work. We should be just appreciative of the ability to create with our hands and our minds. And work is a good thing. God created us to work, but work can be a good thing that takes the place of a great thing. Right? When it becomes a higher priority than it should and it's pulling your energy, it's running in the background even when the things in the foreground are right in front of you. When you're at home and you can't take your mind off the things that you should have left somewhere else, it's running in the background and it's draining your energy. Now, you gave your very best to somebody, let's be honest, that doesn't give two craps about you. We work so hard for other people sometimes, and let me just kind of break it down for you. They don't care about you. They care about what you can do for them. They care about your ability to create wealth for them. Now, there are some great employers and people that there are great people out there. I'm not saying that. That's not the point. The point is they're really concerned about themselves. They're not concerned about you. So you've got to be the one that looks out for yourself in this regard. Don't let the things that you should leave somewhere else run in the background when you're supposed to be paying attention to other things, to people specifically, right? Y'all see how this works? When you're not paying attention to good things, they can distract from the most important things. The next one is what we'll call unattended issues. Unattended issues. Y'all got issues that produce tissues because you're crying tears, right? Unattended issues. So we went to a conference this week, and it was incredible, right? We go every year to a conference in Grapevine. It's called C3 Fellowship Church. Incredible, incredible conference. We took 22 of our volunteers, including two of our micro volunteers, babies. That was fun. And so we had a really awesome time. But so after the second day, and these things are all day long. Like, we get there at 8 o'clock in the morning. They go till, you know, the sessions go until about 5. We have a two-hour break, and then we come back for more because we're just crazy like that. So we had been there all day, 5 o'clock. I walk out. I'm like, I'm going to get an energy drink. I don't know. Again, they say don't do that. What do they know, right? So I drink an energy drink, one a day. Don't judge me. And coffee and pre-workout. So they say don't do that. What do they know? So anyway, I was like, I'm going to go get an energy drink to power through, right, this next session. I need something to kind of pick me up. And so I walk out to my car, I get in my car, and I close the door, and I push the button to start the car, and nothing. Nothing. Dead. And so I discovered children love dome lights. Have y'all ever done this? Y'all ever... And I'm like, do you know that when you open the door, the light comes on, right? It is not necessary to turn the light on. Open the door, see what you need to see, get your happy self out, and then shut the door, and the light goes back off, and nobody loses. But instead, you want to turn it on, and then you get out, and it's still on, and then when I come back to the car, I got to go up to a complete and random stranger and be like, hey, bro, you got some jumper cables? I love being a dad. Now, here's the thing. It's a little thing, right? Isn't a dome light, I think it pulls like half an amp. Like, it is not much of a drain on the power source, on the battery. But when it's left unattended, it can do a lot of damage. Right? When it's left unattended for a period of time, then it can cause havoc and make me look like a weirdo walking across the parking lot asking people for jumper cables. And we've got some issues in our lives. It's not a big deal, right? It's not a big deal. But if it's unattended, if it's something that you don't address, if it's something that you don't deal with, then over time, it's going to cause some issues. It's going to cause some, that little attitude that you got. Can I? I was about to ask for a mirror, thank you. Was that for me? Because everybody else thinks it was for me. I love you too. Moving right along, huh? And the next one is that little problem you have putting people on blast in front of everybody else. I'm just kidding. That little attitude, it's not a big deal. Like in an isolated incident, that little attitude is not a big deal. But when that little attitude persists, there's a bigger issue. There's a larger problem that if you don't address, it's going to create animosity. Because I don't know how you work, but when somebody comes at me, I'm ready to go. And like, I'm a responder, right? Man, if you are nice to me, I love you. Wow, you are awesome. You're a hugger, I'm a hugger. Let's go, right? You come at me with that little snarl, I'm just like, who are you? I don't know what you think God did for you that's special, but it ain't all that much. And you ain't looking in the same kind of mirror as I'm looking in. I'm looking in a regular mirror, and you looking up in a funky, like one of those funny mirrors, and you think you bigger than you is. Golly. That little attitude, if it's left unattended, can cause problems. What about those little bad habits, right? Those little bad habits. Is it really that big of a deal? Isolated incident? No, probably not. It's just, you know, we make dumb mistakes. We do these dumb things because we're dudes. That's what we do. But when it perpetuates, when it continues, when it happens over and over and over again, what we're doing is we're showing the person that we're supposed to care about the most that we don't respect them enough to make a change for the better, right? This little thing that drives them nuts, we say that I would prefer my own preference to making you happy and respecting you enough to make a change, a little change. Is it going to hurt you? Come on, man. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to make your life any worse or any better, but it makes a significant difference in their life. What about that little lack of appreciation? Just it's a little thing. It's just this little issue. I don't say thank you. Not in our house. I'm just telling you, man. As a church, y'all have, we family, right? Y'all have my permission. My kids don't say thank you. And I'll do the same for you. How about that? We do not play with that disrespect, man, because that little disrespect turns into big disrespect. When you're, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old and you don't say thank you, when you're 15, 16, you think you something, right? And so respect is earned. It's one of these, it's learned. It's one of these habits that we have to instill at an early age, and it's no different as an adult. When we don't show respect to the people that we should be showing respect to, when we have just that little bit of disrespect, it's a little issue, but it causes big problems. Last one. These are good, aren't they? I'm taking notes for myself. I'm like, that's good, Pastor. Last one. Let's talk about vampires, like actual, not literal vampires. Y'all watch too many movies, right? But vampires, we understand the concept. They, you know, want to suck your blood, right? And so they suck the blood. The blood is the source of life out of us, right? That's what they want to do. Now, here's the thing. As a follower of Jesus, we are called to love everyone. Now, what does that look like? I think it looks completely different for everyone. I think that there are people that you love, that you allow to get into the very deep personal space in your life, and there are people that you love, God bless them, at a distance. And it has to be this way, right? Jesus loved the entire world, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Jesus loved the entire world, but he only let a few people really, really close. Why didn't Jesus let everybody in and tell everybody everything? Because Jesus, he understood the power of circles and influence, these concentric circles. He had three that he was really, really close with. And then you had the 12 disciples that he shared a little bit with. And then you had this other group of 70 that were, you know, again, these layers to our relationships and our life. We don't have to let everyone close to us that we can't trust, that you don't believe that you... Could you take the heart out of your chest and give it to that person and trust them? That just narrowed the list down, didn't it, right? God, there are some people, like, I love them, but they would just forget and be like, oh, I forgot. I had a beating heart in my hands. I saw a squirrel. Right? So here's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, right? We love everyone. But that does not mean, to be a Christian does not mean that you are a doormat. It does not mean that you lay down and you let everybody walk all over you. Jesus said something that was one of those things that's really hard for me to accept until you understand kind of the point of what he was saying. So the disciples were having this conversation and they're like, you know, hey, you know, the Bible says, or, you know, it's been written that we should forgive, you know, turn the other cheek. That's what you said, Jesus. And I've only got two, so that means I got to forgive twice, right? Do y'all think like this? I'm like, let me figure this out. What's the easiest possible solution for me? And Jesus said this weird thing. He was like, all right, here's the deal. I want you to forgive 70 times 7. And it was, when you do this, it's actually just a metaphor for, I want you to forgive always. Always forgive. Always look for an opportunity to demonstrate grace by forgiving other people. It's this imagery, this illustration that he uses for infinity, right? It's basically kind of the point that he was trying to make is to always forgive. Now, to forgive does not mean that I let you back into the place of my life where I have to make myself vulnerable to your whims, your emotions, and your agenda. Let's just say, hypothetically, right? Let's just say you betrayed me. Man, you did something, and it was wrong. And you even know it was wrong. I know it was wrong. And we're trying to get past it, right? We're trying to mature. We're trying to be responsible. I forgive you. Now, it's not easy. I didn't forget. Right? But I forgive you. I really do. And it's an internal thing that's taking place in my heart. You can't really see it. I'm working on this forgiveness thing, and I forgive you. And you mature. You grow. You get past it. I have no biblical responsibility to allow you to come back into that place in my life. I can love you at a distance. You do not, as a follower of Jesus, have to expose yourself to the places of vulnerability to people who do not care about your well-being and your heart. Why would it say things like, guard your heart above all else? Because it is the source of life. We guard our hearts. There are people who do not care about your heart. You can love them at a distance. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. This is honestly, it's so short, it's kind of quippy. It's one of my favorite verses for whatever reason, and it says this. If it is possible, somebody say if. Now, there are things that the Bible speaks on with dogmatic kind of authority, like this is the way that it is, right? And there are other things where you see these variables, like the word if. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do you know what I think the assumption is here? Is that there are some people that you're just not going to jive with. There are some people that you cannot live at peace with, therefore you don't need to live with them. You can love them. If you see them in public, you're grown up. Act like you got some sense. Be mature. How you doing? How's your mom and them? But you do not have to allow them to come back into that space and place in your life where they can make you hurt, right? They can take your heart, your beating heart that God created and loves so much. Why would you give it to someone who doesn't care about it? You don't have to. So when it comes to vampires, we just need some wooden stakes, right? We ain't gonna go there. We better not. But you don't have to allow them to come back into that place in your life. So these are some things that I think are really, really important as far as making our lives be all that they can be in terms of the relationships that God has called us to. Man, if you're struggling with distraction and you're not making good connections in your relationship, why don't you do some kind of digital detox? Right? What if the next time you went out with your significant other or your friends even, what if you're like, hey man, let's leave the phones in the car. or your purse or your pocket, whatever, just so that there aren't any distractions. So we have the bad connections. We have the unattended issues. Man, if it's a little issue now, check it before it becomes a monstrosity, right? And then you've got these vampires. There are certain people that you do not have to allow to get to the place in your life where they can hurt you like they intend to, because that's what a vampire does. We are so shocked. I saw this on Facebook the other day. It's such a great theological place. And it was a story about a woman driving down the road, and she saw a snake that was injured. Apparently it had been hit by a car or something. And so she felt compassion for the snake. And so she pulls over and scoops the snake up and puts it in a box, puts snake food in there, rats, I don't know, whatever they eat, makes a little bed for it, and puts it in her car and takes it home. And she's like, I'm gonna take the snake, I'm gonna make a difference in the life of the snake. She takes the snake home and nurses it back to health. And it's back to 100%. It's in all of its snakiness, it's healthy. And so she reaches in to pet the snake that she had taken from the brink of death and brought it back to life. And the snake bites her. Now it's a story, so the snake can talk. And she's like, why did you bite me? And the snake was like, I'm a snake. Why did you think that I wouldn't bite you? Because that's what snakes do. That's what vampires do. And we can love them. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking like driving down the road, because when I see snakes, I'm like, frr, frr. That's bonus points, man. Bonus points. Now, y'all do not hit people with your car this week that you think are vampires, but there are people that do not care about you, that do not have your best interest at heart. You don't have to have them in those places in your life. But there are other people who want you to have the significance, the power that God has desired for you to have in your relationship. Let those people in and make those good connections, and don't allow those little bitty issues to distract you and detract you from being everything that God has created you to be. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for all that you do, for your love for us. God, you are so good. You're so much more than we deserve. God, I just absolutely love the idea you find in Romans chapter 5 that while we were still sinners, we had nothing to offer to you. We couldn't bring anything to this relationship except for our past and our baggage and our issues and our problems and our sin and our failures. That's all we really had to offer. But while we were still sinners, that you died on the cross for us to show us what love is. It was a demonstration of the love and the kindness and the goodness of God. Thank you for being a God like that. Thank you for loving us in spite of us. But thank you for loving us so much that even though you're the God that doesn't change, that you're the God that constantly helps us to change. Help us become more like you. Help us to love like you love. Help us to give in our relationships like you give to us. God, the grace that you share with us, help us to share that with others. The love that you lavish on us, help us to pour that on others. Help us just to model you, to exemplify your love, your grace, your kindness, and your mercy to everyone that we come in contact with. Jesus, we love you. It's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.